It's easy to think the only benefit of holding a company's stock is the chance to make money. But a new crop of investors has another goal in mind, and their goals move beyond the almighty dollar to just the almighty.
Colleen Scanlon is Senior Vice President and Chief Advocacy Officer of Catholic Health Initiatives, or CHI, one of the largest healthcare agencies in the country. And under her watch, the company has invested in an unlikely place, Sturm and Ruger, a gun manufacturer. CHI isn't alone. This type of investor is called a shareholder activist, and their goal is to work within a target company around issues or concerns they see affecting communities.
I think particularly for CHI, as a healthcare organization, we witness, you know, in our ministries across this country daily violence, and some of those are victims of gun violence. We believe that the tragic gun violence that is occurring across this country needs to be addressed, and we think that there are many people, many organizations, corporations, entities that can be involved in addressing the issue of gun violence, including the manufacturers of guns.
At a Sturm and Ruger shareholder meeting last week in Prescott, Scanlon was there to cast her vote, along with her fellow activists, for a resolution that will require the company to produce a gun safety report addressing three main points.
One being that they're monitoring some of these violent events that are occurring across the country that their products may be involved in. Second thing is to better understand if Sturm Ruger has any efforts underway to research or produce safer guns and gun products. And the third is really to better understand how the company is assessing their reputational and financial risks that are related to gun violence in this country.
Shareholders have given the gun manufacturer a year to create the new report, which the company says they will do, albeit reluctantly. The board's opposition to the vote was contained in the annual meeting of stockholders' agenda and read in part, "The misuse of firearms by criminals is beyond its control, and our motto, Arms Makers for Responsible Citizens, exemplifies our corporate culture." But shareholder activism isn't just within Sturm and Ruger or just within gun companies. This is a movement that is hoping to affect change in environmental circles, moral issues, or really anything under the umbrella of socially responsible investing. And here to explain this movement further is Tracy Rembert. She's the director of Catholic Responsible Investing at Christian Brothers Investment Services. They are a part of a number of well-known networks of large investors that engage in socially responsible investing. So they take the priorities that their Catholic investors have and they integrate them into the investment process. I spoke with Rembert more about this, and the companies they invest in might surprise you.
For instance, there's a big debate about whether or not investors should be investing in fossil fuel producers like oil and gas companies or auto manufacturers or utilities that are largely running on coal. We've chosen to engage with a lot of top oil and gas producers, everything from BP and Shell to ExxonMobil, to get them to diversify their energy mix, move away from oil and gas over time, and overall change the conversation in the marketplace about what it means to go low carbon.
So how do the management of some of these companies respond to you? I mean, are they frustrated by the fact that you're on their board all of a sudden?
There's a spectrum of responses. Sometimes you go to a company and they're like, oh, I never thought about that issue in that way. We will look into that and get back to you. Like when you raise with, say, hotel chains or airlines, the fact that their premises are used as major vehicles for human trafficking and the pass-through of people for modern-day slavery. They're like, oh, this is something we could do something about. So we've worked in the past with Wyndham and others to do training of employees on recognizing the signs of human trafficking on their premises and be proactive about stopping that. And we're seeing that now across a number of industries. Other times, companies are like, wait a minute, I don't even know what you're talking about. What, speak in business terms, make the economic case as to why we should do what you're asking for. And that's when investors are then challenged to make the ethical case and make the financial case as to why certain things that you might be asking for are in the company's and its shareholders' best interests.
So if a company does not respond in a positive way, what are the dangers of a company sort of trying to override or ignore their shareholder activists?
So in the U.S., shareholders make use of a tool called the shareholder resolution, It's a proposal that's filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. It goes on the ballot, which then is mailed to all shareholders worldwide, and everybody gets to vote. And then boards, looking at the results of that vote, will take into consideration what they want to do based on shareholder feedback from the vote. But a lot of times companies do not want the issue you are engaging with them on to be on the ballot. So you have a lot of conversation back and forth. So there's also shareholder litigation, which is sometimes used, and there are consumer organizations and nonprofits that might do a media campaign or a public interest campaign that puts additional pressure on a company. But from a shareholder standpoint, you try to dialogue with the company first, often, see if they're responsive. Then if they are not, then you ratchet up the tools you have in your arsenal to try to get their attention and try to move the company. And shareholder resolutions are one of those. Trying to nominate people for the board is another. And that's, you know, considered kind of a nuclear option.
Okay, so how effective can shareholder activists like these be? I mean, it sounds like you've been able to make a difference with some really large companies.
Sometimes you have big wins overnight. And when that happens, it's typically shifts in consumer preference, more information coming up about that issue, just a confluence of events that are happening. Other times it's incremental progress that happens year after year. So when we go to a company and ask them to address modern day slavery or human trafficking, or right now one of the issues that we're working on is trying to ask tech companies and telecom companies to crack down on child sexual exploitation online. Sometimes it takes a year to build that relationship where they actually look into an issue, because their first inclination is, this isn't an issue for us, or we don't really want to deal with you. And you have to make that, you know, that economic case and that ethical case as to why this issue resonates with people, why it's a business risk. And then you build the relationship over time, very often, to get a company to move.
Yeah. So, Tracy, what about the financial side of this? Like, how likely is it that a company can come back to an activist shareholder and say, we can't do that because it'll hurt our bottom line?
One, there are a lot of studies that look at strategies that incorporate responsible investment practices. And they found over time that there's no financial difference in terms of performance of companies using what they call environmental, social, and governance strategies versus those that don't use that criteria. So, you know, we have kind of broader data that helps support that this doesn't hurt the bottom line necessarily. But also, a lot of the issues that we are bringing to companies are kind of canary in the coal mine issues. You know, cybersecurity, investors were raising that 5 years ago, and now it's on the minds of most boards in corporate America.
That's Tracy Rembert. She's the director of Catholic Responsible Investing with Christian Brothers Investment Services. Tracy, thank you so much for joining us to talk to us about this.
Thank you.